What I want to do is I want to finish the subject matter and just give some practical helps with regard to the idea of family worship and family devotion for the encouragement. We said one of the things is discipline and then an instruction. And then the instruction is to go on all the time. Deuteronomy 6 kind of sets the pattern when we're rising up, when we're laying down, when we're walking along the way, that our lives are devoted to a constant instruction of them as much as possible. But that's all informal. I mean, in other words, it really just comes out of our lives as we speak about the realities of Christ. We manifest those realities in our lives. But it's good, just like anything in our lives, we pray without ceasing. You know, we can pray as we're driving, "Oh Lord, help keep me from honking at the guy in front of me." Or help me as I'm about to go to this interview or do this, "Lord, give me," you know, we can pray all the time, but, and say, "Well, I do pray all the time," which we should, but it's also good to have seasons set apart where, you know, there's a focus again. And I think, like, we do that in our lives, even with regard to the Lord's Day. And it's also, it's a good thing to do that and set it aside, or at least have a purpose to set it aside, you know, on a daily basis in your home, as much as you can do. In other words, a little bit more formal and directed. And again, to do it without saying, "Well, the school teaches them," because all my children have their, well, except two of my children have their children in Christian schools. But the implication sometimes, or at least maybe the supposition is, well, they're getting instructed. And I'm not saying they say that, but okay, they're getting it from they should get it from us, you know, and be instructed, and then we become the ones who do that. And as I set that out, as I set out that focus, and I think a good focus is, you know, what's our aim again with regard to the worship of God? And I set out four things, and I'm just saying, I'll just remind you of these, and then I'm going to go, okay, what do we do and how do we do that? And those are some practical suggestions with regard to family worship, you know, where there's a time of, you know, prayer with the family, and especially husbands and wives have those seasons together, where they pray together, morning and evening if possible, you know, where there's just this time where you bring both your hearts together. But we want to impress them, and we need to be impressed with the reality of God, that He is everywhere, that He is the, and that's the eye-opening reality, that we live before God. We want to invoke the remembrance of God, and that's what we're seeking to do. We're trying to bring them back, because that's where we are. We always kind of get so buried in this place. This is the environment in which we live, that we need to be brought up out of the water, in a sense, that we swim in, and this tide that we're in, and be mindful of God Himself. So we want to invoke the remembrance of God, bring Him to their minds. We want to instill the reverence of God, the fear of God, for that's the beginning of wisdom. They're morons. Everyone's a moron who doesn't know God, no matter what. It's not ACTs or SATs or whatever those things are that matters. It's really wisdom, walking well in the sight of God, which Proverbs deals with and is so helpful about, instilling the reverence of God. You know, when all is said and done, says the writer to Ecclesiastes, it says, fear God. That's the sum of the matter. He says, as he looks at the vanity of life under the world, he says, listen, fear God. And that fear of God is not the trembling of under his judgment if we're in Christ, but it is the reverence and regard and awe of such a God who made us and to whom we're still accountable for all our lives. And then finally, to inspire rejoicing in God. That's what we desire. So, How are we to carry that out, and what's to be the character of that? And so I'm going to say what's the character of this devotion or this time that we would have together? I'm going to put that. I'm going to use that, and I'm going to characterize that, and I'm going to say what are the elements of it. That's going to be the very simple thing. What do we do? Okay. And first of all, I'm just going to say, how do we do that? And let me see, how do I find a marker? She's hiding them from me. Oh no, here they are. Okay, I hope these erase. And it is not April 28th, by the way. Okay, here's the first one, okay? Okay, I'm using these terms. I'm going to use all these S terms. Okay, solemnly. Okay, now that sounds like not very inviting. Okay, you say solemnly. I mean, you know, and the minute you think of solemnly, you think of sackcloth and ashes, you know, and those kinds of things. You think of a long face. You think of a, you know, downcast and all those things. I'm just saying this idea that we are. I'm just going to put it this way: we're worshiping. Okay, I'm not very good at writing on the board. Okay, we are worshiping a great God. Okay, and I just think it's just that we come this way, that this we're setting this aside, and this is what we're thinking about, and we want them to think about this. We don't want to trivialize. You know, anytime we talk about God, we don't want to trivialize it. We want to say, you know, no, this is a privilege. This is a blessing to be able to declare His worth and glory and to think about it. You know, now that'll be hard for them to think about that. We just think about it that way. We just have the right mindset as we come, you know, as we would seek to minister to them. So that would be the first thing that I would say. Here's my little note. Okay, it's going to be this. It should be joyous. Is that right? How you spell joyous? Joyous. Is that right? Okay, joyous. And I'm just going to put this. Okay, just for now. Not silly. Okay, sober. I'm going to say sober, not silly. Okay. Now, does that mean you can't have fun? Does it mean you can't smile or anything else? I'm just saying, all it is, this is just a matter of an attitude that doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a frowning face, you know. It doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be that. Okay, but solemnly, the idea is okay. This is a privilege, and so we want to maybe even encourage it. This is important to us, and that's the other thing. The kids are going to embrace what you manifest is important to you. If you have no interest in the Word of God, if you have no interest in prayer, if you have no interest in church, if everything, you know, is kind of, you know, the attitude with which we approach things, young people pick that up. They know what matters to you. And maybe just put it this way. It matters to us. You know, it matters to us that we ourselves are talking and speaking and learning of God. All right. And that's an attitude we should always have anyway. But, okay, now this is one that you will certainly appreciate. Okay. Okay. Maybe I should, yeah. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. I mean, sometimes you can just start off with so much anticipation. You know, we're going to study the Satan ransom theory of the atonement. You know, they'll go, what? Okay, and then that was a funny story, because there was a great teacher at Dallas Seminary, and he was invited to speak at a Valentine banquet at a church. And it was husbands and wives coming to the church Valentine banquet, and he preached on the Satan ransom theory of the atonement. You know, and you said, you know, somebody should have told him what the occasion was. Okay. You know, so, you know, be aware, you know, be aware, you know, well, I mean, one of the things that you should always know when you teach somebody, right, is what's my audience, right, and what's their interest level, and what's their capacity, and all of those things. And you'll never err, you know, by going to the lowest level you can, you know, in a sense, you know. So I'm just saying simple, you know, just, you know, aware. I guess I would just say awareness. Because I just remember when I first started to try that with the kids, you know, I said, okay, I know this is what I need to do. And I'm sitting down and trying to get ready and, you know, and you have a little outline and the little creatures are just crawling all over the place, you know, and then they're not interested in point one, point two, point three, you know, they're not interested in all the stuff that I'm interested in. And so I say, well, okay, now we just really got to get simple. So simplicity is good. Awareness, I guess I'm just going to, awareness of audience. And again, that, and I think that's just going to be, you know, and capacity, you know. And of course, you know the children and how well they are, you know, how well they can do that. Okay. You might, I mean, if somebody has some suggestions here, you know, you can just let me know, because I'm just taking some of the ones that I've had before. Okay, now I'm going to do this one. I'm using all my S's here. Okay, I've used that word savory. Mary Ellen would know what savory is, right? You're a cook, you know.
Deliciousness.
Yeah, let's put that, delicious. Something you look forward to, right? Delicious, you know. Penny will make me sometimes when I'm at home, she'll make me a sandwich, you know. And Kelsey was there once when she made a sandwich, Penny just, you know, threw some mayonnaise on it, put a bologna on it, just slapped it there, and gave me it on the paper plate, you know. And Kelsey says, "Mom, put a little love in that thing," you know. You know, put a little lettuce, put a little, you know, some other stuff, you know. I mean, it just, you know, just like that. Well, I don't mind. I don't mind it. But, you know, but there is something with making it savory. And so what that means is I've got to think, you know, what will make it interesting? You know, what is it that's going to be adjusted to their interest level? You know, and that's what I'm saying. It doesn't, so it can, lively, not a lecture, okay? You know, you're on the bully pulpit or something else. So it's, try to keep it that way. So these are things probably, okay. Oh, here's another one. Okay. And if you, and here's one of the, here's something that I have to learn myself, okay? Keep it short, okay? I'm surprised at the Puritan funeral sermons, you know, the Puritan funeral sermons are like, if you read them, they're like 12 pages in tiny print long. And I'm saying, those people stayed at that funeral, you know, for 2 hours, you know. And so our attention span is short, okay. But again, that isn't necessarily a sinful thing. That's just basically where, especially where young people are, you know. You've got to kind of come in and be able to do that. If it's savory, they don't maybe mind the shortness. You know, all of these things kind of, if it's simple, they may not mind that either. If you're just, listen, it's we always go back to, in this one, we're always going back to the basics, aren't we, in our faith. We always want to be reminded of the gospel. We always want to be reminded of those other things. So never get weary of repetition, okay? And so going simple or doing those things is good. Okay, let's see here. Number 5. Okay, I'll put it here. It's getting, okay, then what I'm going to put here. I'm just keeping the S's so it may not make sense, but, okay. When I mean seasonable, I'm just talking about do it, find a good time. Find a good time to do it. You know, a good time when they themselves will be, when they themselves are poised to listen. And with most kids, as you know, they're always poised to listen when it's time for bed. Because if they can delay it, okay, just by some, Dad, tell us, read us the Bible, do something, okay, good. I mean, so sometimes, or sometimes the best time is when the family is all gathered together, You know, like sometimes that's like most families, especially younger in the younger days, everybody's together. So a good time is just right after dinner while everybody's still seated, you know. And they may want to get up and go play, but sometimes you can, you know, as I get this shortness isn't going to go into the wee hours of the night. And so it's a good time when everybody's together to do that. Probably don't do it, you know, before dinner. You know, when they're all hungry and the dinner's sitting in front of them, you know, because they might be eating it while you're talking, you know. But that's all right, too, I suppose, if you have a good meal. Okay, now, let me see. I guess I'm just going to put it this way. I'll just be right here. Sensitive, and this is just, I'm saying this is what we always have to do. Sensitive to, are they attentive? Are they listening? Am I losing them, or do I need to, you know, kind of interrupt what I'm saying, not to rebuke them, but to say, do you understand, or maybe just changing the approach, or just going back and making things clear. And if they're just so fidgety that no, you know, for whatever reason, then maybe sometimes you just have to make it shorter. Okay? In other words, you're flexible. I think that's be flex. This says, okay, schedule it, but you know, be flexible. I'm just going to put that on here, flexibility, because there may be, you know, let's see, flexibility. Okay, there it is. Okay, so have some flexibility in that. Okay, you're not getting graded, you know. What you're just trying to do is show your interest in saying this is, and encouraging them and say this, we believe this is, you know, important and everything else, and you would know how to speak to them, and the thing, and you would even know their interests, and indeed as trying to put something together as you're teaching the truth, you know, as trying to make application to their lives. You know, you can do it knowing what they're interested in. You know what they listen to, what they like, or the things that, you know, so you can relate that way. Be conscious of them that way. Let me see. Okay, now I think I'm running out of S's, so that's okay. All right. I'm just going to put it this way. Orderly. Okay. Maybe I'll just use this word. Okay. I'm going to use it. This is going to sound inflexible, but again, I'm saying be flexible with this. Okay. In other words, have a purpose, have a purpose, you know, I'll put it this way. Have a purpose, have a point. And sometimes that's the simplest way to do it, is just to say, okay, this is what we want to focus on tonight. Here's the lesson that I want them to learn. Here's the truth that I want them to grasp. And so have an idea, and orderly, we'll speak about that. As I kind of put down, okay, what's to be in the order of it? Okay. Okay. Evangelistic. Okay. And what do I mean by that? Okay. As much as possible. Okay. And this is what I'm just... that what we do teach them. Okay. Many times all our teaching, like in the Proverbs, is going to be conduct, behavior related. But we want to do that. We want to do that with an understanding, again, why our behavior matters. You know, what's bad behavior, what's good behavior, but the idea of pleasing God, and that God, you know, that the way in which we're able to please God is in a relationship with Christ, and He gives us the grace to do that. So that's what I would call evangelistic. So you're constantly, you know, turning them back to look to Christ for that ability. And you can use that by your own personal example, you know, and just, you know, with regard to many of these things. Because, I mean, there's so much things that that kids have that we can relate to. You know, waking up, being tardy, telling the truth, You know, being eager about what we're doing. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do. And then this one, this is the last one. And, okay, I found another. Okay, I'm just going to do this. Steady. Okay, I'm using, the word I usually use is consistent. It's just like discipline. It's just like instruction. In other words, if there's patterns that we get that are productive, just with regard like to discipline, just the best thing we can do is be consistent in our discipline. The best thing we can do is be consistent in our instruction, and it's good to be as steady as possible. There's some days, nights, everything else, everything just is completely goes. You know, it doesn't work, right? So don't get all upset about it. You know, just saying, well, we're committed to that. You know, it's like our habits of prayer. Sometimes they get interrupted by events. Our time of reading the scriptures, those disciplines that we have get interrupted. But they don't get stopped. We don't despair of continuing in those things. And so that's what I'm saying here. So, in fact, see there, look at there. There's a product right there, faithful child raising. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So here they are. So those are any questions about those things? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question on the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, like at prayer time, you know the prayer, God is great, God is good, let us thank you for our food.
That's all we ever prayed for. Yeah.
Well, I wish I could say I taught my children that, but you know the teacher at school did. But it's become sort of like a no one else prays. I get to pray. When I say I mean someone else in our family, that's not James. It's like sort of become like a control thing, and then I feel like it's now like a quick. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I guess it's good that we've learned the prayer, but now I feel like it's just like a, it's not meaningful, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is what we do. I'm the only one who gets to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that? Like, do we try to break the control, like discipline when it's a control thing, try to make it more meaningful?
Well, and sometimes do you just pray, God is great, God is good?
No, it's the individual.
The little stinker bugs.
The little stinker bugs.
Yeah, yeah.
The one who can talk.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Our nameless.
Yeah, just, yeah, maybe, you know, I think probably sometimes the best thing to do is, you know, maybe just say, is there anything else you want to be thankful for? Obviously, no. I just want to eat, you know. And so sometimes I think you just become the example of it. And those kind of things, you just become the example of a prayer.
Okay.
A simple prayer, for example, like James or you, whatever, for a meal. Where it's not God is great, God is good.
Okay.
You know, where you just use some, maybe even just simple words that sometimes have that same idea. But realize our prayers, we fall into that, don't we? We start finding, you know, thinking of our prayers, man, I always pray that way, you know, and we've got to think kind of creatively.
Okay.
So, you know, you just change the prayer that you're praying.
So you think it's okay, because I think it will turn into like a discipline scenario, because it's like that person has to be the one to do it.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense? So for like, we've even been like our in-laws and their father-in-law will pray, and it's like this huge thing because that person is the one who only prays. Does that make sense? But I'm like,
you want them,
because it's like we want him to want it to pray, but then it's like, yeah, want the person to pray, but then it's like, if we're disciplining for prayer, is that going to break? You know,
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and again, that the problem is, yeah, you can. I mean, the hearts are one thing. Just having them pray, you know, that's the problem. We can just pray without heart.
Right.
Everything. And so I think it's, yeah, I don't know if I'd discipline them for that, because you can't really, you know, again, that heart issue of saying, you pray right. Well, the problem is they're not right yet. You know, their heart. I mean, we want them to pray. We want them to acknowledge God. You know, would you thank God? You know, what can you thank God for? What would you want us to thank God for? You know, maybe, and just do something like that. Where you just ask them, you know, and that we want to be grateful. Are you grateful? You know, sometimes you can just even have the discussion, but not in the sense of just saying, you know, you're a little ingrate, you know, you're just waiting to get to eat, you know.
Okay.
Well, I mean, so, you know, just that, especially in prayer, because you don't want, it's easy to get it. I, you know, and I always remember it, and I remember, that I was just glad because it was the formality to eating. Yeah. You know, it's kind of, and that's sometimes what happens. So, and that's the hardest thing, is to keep religion and its faithful practice, true religion, out of that rut. But I think you can do it. But I wouldn't necessarily discipline. I'd maybe just try to encourage, maybe with some ideas of new prayers, you know.
Okay.
And just change them, just kind of getting at least out of the rut of the system of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, let me write down here. All right. So you guys got all those things, okay? So now I'm going to go, okay, what should it include? And this is, and again, I say, what should it? This is not, none of this is, you know, this isn't from Sinai, you know, or Mount Zion. This is just simply kind of common sense, okay? So at least it should be common sense, okay? Look what a mess I'm making. Oh, man, they're not going to like it if I... Thanks a lot, Annie. Yeah.
I can fix it.
Yeah, you probably can. So you got some super glue? Okay. No. Zach? Okay. Okay, here. All right.
I'll clean it up after.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Here's the things that I mean, what would be the content? Okay. And I'm just going to put it up here. I think these things, I'll just say scripture, you know, some scripture, and it doesn't have to be a chapter, it can just be a line, you know, and sometimes just one line, you know. So keep just that, and then I would say, if you can, you know, song. So kids like to sing. You know, they like to sing a lot of things. So if you have a song, good. If anybody's going to do anything, let them sing the praises of God. We're to do it whether we're believers or not. He's worthy to be worshipped. And then what was the other thing I had there? Okay, obviously. Okay, I mean prayer. Okay, the very thing you're talking about, Annie. But the reality is sometimes, and this is where we're at as parents, we lead them, you know. And I think... I mean, there was this lady named Alice Johnson when I first came to the church. She was 86 years old and everything else. And she was dying, and I saw her in the hospital. And I just asked her, I says, what is the thing that you remember most about your life? And she says, what I remember, says, I always remember my dad gathering us to read the Bible. You know, you go, whoa. I go, she's on her dying days. And what she remembers is that pattern, you know. And, you know, could you ask her what texts or anything else? Probably not. But what she remembered was that this dad, you know, and this parent, that just they just had that, whether they're devoted or not, you know, we want them to know that we are, and we're devoted to their hearts, you know, and souls. And so that's what we do. So if they don't want to pray, you pray. You know, and that's what we do. We pray. And then, and of course, when you're praying with kids, okay, keep it simple. You know, I mean, remember, this is, and you know, how long should this all take? I would say no less than 45 minutes. I'm just teasing. Okay. No, this may be 15 minutes, you know, or something like that. But just the consistency of it and your focus and dedication to it. Now, scripture, and there's other things that you can use, you know. I mean, use scripture, but then there's you know, you can read to them too, right? You can read to them, you know, Pilgrim's Progress. In the scripture, this is when you can use J.C. Ryle's notes, you know, or Charles Bridges' observations in the Proverbs. So there's very simple things that you can use that way. Or you can even read what kids like, if they're really good ones, are biographies. You know, read stories of Christian people. You can get these. There's a lot of books that have stories of believers. and just have some good stories. Or even, again, finding some sermons. What is J.C. Ryle has a very good sermon on the... did you give that sermon about the kids calling Elisha old Baldy?
Oh yeah, we did talk about it.
Old Baldy, go up, old Baldy. Go up, old bald head. Yeah.
Yeah, Reese picked.
Yeah, Reese like yeah, because she was thinking of me on that, and she said yeah, but I like the story because it says 42 children did not come back to dinner that night, they were mauled by the bears, and so there's some children, and so Ryle has a little book on children playing and stuff, and it's little simple sermons, about respect, showing honor, and all and just different things, and so there's a lot of tools if you want to use it, but then again, simply sometimes it's just taking the scripture that you have that you've been thinking about or that you would think would be helpful to them and just doing that. And so those are just, just kind of a pattern that they will, yeah.
What are some of your biographies that are favorite?
Oh, boy. Well, of course, William Borden. That'd be when they got older. Yeah. William Borden would be for every teenager that's ever lived. Let's see. Trying to think of Harvest. It was Harvest Press. Now I don't know which one they are, but they were just little books on missionaries, and you could get those. You can get little books on missionaries, and you can get some other ones. Just some little tiny biographies of just like some of the preachers, some of the missionaries. Okay. Mary Ellen is in control of those things, and so, okay. So those are the options, an example of what to do, and then those are things to include, and just yes, ma'am.
Well, this is only a short phase, and I know this, but we just have a little stinker bug, and so he's not understanding stuff like this yet. But he does obviously like he's learning songs, so that could be fun. Or like you said, we basically can cater it to the age of the kids too. Like we're not necessarily reading him William Borden right now.
And sometimes, just interrupting, obviously, but even just doing something like simple memory work.
Oh yeah.
They don't have to memorize a whole verse necessarily, but something almost like Zach is doing, going through with kids. Okay, with Brittany, it was like, okay, Brittany, we're gonna give you a memory verse from each book of the Bible. So it helps you to remember the books of the Bible, and then, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Boom, then go to, Exodus and pick a verse and just a simple part, that they're thinking about that, but go ahead. You were going to say something.
That helps answer my question. I was just going to say, we should still be starting that habit now, even though he's little, it doesn't have to look exactly the same. It can kind of evolve as he.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I think it's easy for me to think, oh, I'll do this when he's a little older, but then maybe those habits aren't starting.
Just simple things, yeah. Even if they, if they can only stand singing one song, okay, fine.
Yeah, his attention span's definitely shorter.
Yeah. And at least they can see you singing if you really sing it well, Well, you don't even have to sing it well. They wouldn't know, but they would just so I'm going to stop there.